The only one who can forgive an offense is the one against whom the offense is committed. Now, since all sin is against God, only God can forgive sin. The most difficult words I have ever spoken are, "I was wrong. I am sorry. Please forgive me." I do not find it easy to admit my trespass against others, and I certainly do not confess easily my transgressions against the Lord. But it is imperative that confession be made if forgiveness is to be enjoyed. That principle is as true in the area of moral sexual conduct as it is in any other area of life. The person who is guilty of an affair must confess, "I have sinned against the Lord. I have sinned greatly in that I have done, and now I beseech you, O Lord, take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly." Now, those two quotations from the Bible teach us four great facts about sin and forgiveness. First, sin is rebellion against God. We must recognize that every sin is against the Lord. Whoever else may be involved or injured by our wrong, sin is always ultimately against God. Second, sin is personal. We must acknowledge, "I have sinned. I have done very foolishly." Now notice that in one verse of Scripture, 2 Samuel 24:10, the personal pronoun "I" occurs four times in confession of personal guilt. Since sin is personal, confession must be personal also. Third, sin is inexcusable. We must say of every act of sin, "I have done very foolishly." There is no plausible excuse for sin. It's a foolhardy thing to do. No sin can be justified. Only God can forgive sin, and that's the fourth principle. We must say to Him, "Take away the iniquity of your servant." We must confess our sins to God, not to any human who represents God, because only God can forgive our sins. So let us apply those four principles to our study of how to recover from an adulterous affair. To recover from an adulterous affair, the same as any other sin, ask God to forgive you for the sin you have committed. Now remember the background of this study. King David had seduced Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah, and had committed adultery with her. He had her husband killed that he might marry her, and had the birth of the child which had been conceived in that adulterous union. Now God sent his prophet Nathan to rebuke David for his sin, and his response is the most heart-rending confession of sin to be found anywhere in the Bible. Psalm 51 is David's prayer. The title to the psalm reads, "To the chief musician, a psalm of David when Nathan the prophet came to him after he had gone in to Bathsheba." I was surprised that a psalm of confession for such a terrible double sin, adultery with the married woman and the murder of her husband, is included in the Bible. But God put it there so that we could have a pattern to follow in confession of our sins. Listen to it. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you might be justified when you speak and be clear when you judge. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your free spirit. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, you God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness." Now, examine that confession in the light of four principles which deal with sin and forgiveness. One, sin is rebellion against God. Now, that's why David came to God to settle his sin problem. He cried out to God to have mercy on him and to blot out his transgressions on the basis of divine mercy. He acknowledged to God the sin he had sought to hide from people because his sin was against God. He confessed in an honest spirit, "Against you and you only have I done this evil in your sight." The truth is, he had sinned against Bathsheba in seducing her, and against Uriah in violating the man's wife. But all sin is ultimately against God. So David confessed his sin as an act of rebellion against God. Do you view your sins in that light? To wrong a person is to sin against God. To neglect a duty is to sin against God. To violate Bible principles is to sin against God. Now that makes sin doubly serious, doesn't it? 2, sin is personal. Read Psalm 51 and notice how many times the personal pronouns I, me, my, mine occur. Over 36 times in that one psalm. David did not hesitate to declare the sin was his own sin. He did not blame Bathsheba, his own human weakness, or any other thing. He admitted the sin was his own doing by an act of his own will, and he alone was responsible for it. So he prayed, "Have mercy upon me. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me. Cleanse me. I acknowledge my transgression, my sin. I have sinned and done this evil. My sins, my iniquities." You'll never find peace from the guilt of sin until you admit your personal responsibility for the sins you have committed. 3, sin is inexcusable. David made reference in verse 5 of this psalm to his being shapen in iniquity and born in sin. But that was not an excuse for his sin. He was rather admitting his depraved nature and admitting that he could find no remedy for his sin apart from God's forgiving grace. As he confessed later concerning another time he violated God's laws, David said, "I have done very foolishly." And indeed he had. He knew God's law concerning adultery, that it bore the death penalty upon it. He knew God's law concerning murder, that it bore the death penalty upon it. And yet he committed both sins. It was a foolhardy thing to do. But he did it in full knowledge of God's warnings. Well, you and I can find no excuse for our sins either. Sin is always the height of folly. 4, God only can forgive sin. Now you look at Psalm 51 in view of that principle. David prayed that God would deal with his sins in this manner. "Have mercy, blot out, wash me, cleanse me, purge me, hide your face from my sins, blot out my iniquities, create, renew, cast me not away, restore me, uphold me, deliver me." And every one of those requests were addressed to God. Do you think you can receive forgiveness from any priest, preacher, or prophet on earth? Who can forgive sins but God only? God said, I am He who blots out your transgression for my own sake and will not remember your sin. The only one who can forgive an offense is the one against whom the offense is committed. Since all sin is against God, only God can forgive our sins. But read Psalm 32. It is David's response after God had forgiven his sins. He writes of the blessednesses of the ones whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered, to whom the Lord imputes not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. It teaches that God forgives every sin, and that there is a complete, not conditional, forgiveness of every sin, even the worst of sins. So if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And now, Father, we do confess that we have sinned inexcusably, willfully, against You, a holy God. We thank You for convicting us and calling us to forgiveness. And we come to You now in humble confession with the request that You forgive us totally and forever. We accept by faith the fact of Your forgiveness because You have promised it, and we trust You. In Jesus' name, amen.